You're listening
to the CD Baby.
CD Baby.
CD Baby.
DIY. DIY.
Oh. Musician.
Musician. Podcast.
Hey there, and welcome to episode number 121 of the CD Baby DIY Musician Podcast. My name is Kevin Bruner, your host for the show, and today you're going to hear from Justin Kalifowitz of SongTrust. Well, here at CD Baby, we recently launched a new service called CD Baby Pro, which adds performing rights affiliation for songwriters, worldwide song registration, and global royalty collection to your distribution package through CD Baby. In short, we're helping artists monetize their original songs through all the revenue streams available in the music publishing world. It's been very exciting to take part in launching CD Baby Pro, as these revenue streams are becoming increasingly important to an artist's overall revenue picture. Since the launch, we've received a lot of questions from artists about music publishing, international royalty collection, mechanical royalties, performance royalties, and so on. So I gathered up the most popular questions from artists and took them into my interview with Justin, who, by the way, is a music publishing expert. I'm very happy to have Justin on the show, and I hope this provides a lot of clarity and gets you excited about all the opportunities for your music in music publishing. Well, joining me on the line is Justin Kalifowitz from SongTrust. Justin, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, thanks. How are you, Kevin?
I'm doing well. It's been an exciting couple weeks since we officially announced the launch of CD Baby Pro, which you guys are playing a part in over there at SongTrust. But before we get into all the questions and just the exciting things about royalty collection and then some of the new territory we're headed into, why don't you give us a little bit of your background in the music business?
Sure. I've been a music fan my entire life. I was obsessed with lots of different bands growing up in New York. And all I ever wanted to do was be in the music business, not for lack of trying to be a musician, but all of my friends told me I had no rhythm and couldn't play anything. So I, by default, became the manager of one of my closest friends' bands when we were 13, and I put manager in quotes, you know. I was carrying the gear around. But you know, I did a lot of internships in high school, record companies, radio stations, booking agencies, management companies, and then I got a job at RCA Records in the international marketing department sort of right out of high school, which is a bit unique. And then I worked at Virgin Records for a short while in the A&R department, and that's kind of where I first learned about music publishing and learned about this whole business of people who manage royalty collection and the careers of songwriters. I got my first job in music publishing in 2001, 12 years ago, at a company called Spirit Music. And during that time, I had the good fortune of being able to work with some incredible song catalogs representing the song copyrights of artists like Bob Marley and Lou Reed and Chaka Khan, as well as more contemporary songwriters who were writing hits back then for artists like Dido and Michelle Branch and Mary J. Blige, and it was a long list of pop and R&B artists that we were that our writers were working on. I did that for about 6 years, and in 2007 I started my own company called Downtown Music Publishing. It was part of a company called Downtown Music. They had a label called Downtown Records. And they started their business off the back of Gnarls Barkley, which was hugely successful for them in 2006. So I came in 2007 to start Downtown Music Publishing, hired many of my favorite people, and we quickly started to grow as a business. And today, Downtown Music Publishing represents over 50,000 copyrights, including the song catalogs of folks like John Lennon and Yoko Ono, and bands like Motley Crue and film composers like Trevor Horn and Hans Zimmer and Trevor Rabin, really talented folks. And one of the things that came up in around 2009 was this conversation about what was going on in the DIY space and what was happening to you know, hundreds and thousands of artists out there who were starting to look at other alternatives to the major label and major publisher system and saying, what are the options for these artists when it comes to music publishing? How can they collect their royalties? And what we discovered was that there really wasn't an option out there for most of these folks to collect monies that they were earning around the world, and started to come up with a system that we thought could work. And the conversations really began in earnest in 2010, diving into how we can help emerging songwriters and artists. And then in 2011, we started a business called Song Trust, which has been my focus ever since. And that's kind of how we got to today.
Well, excellent. It's interesting because, you know, since we've launched CD Baby Pro, there's been numerous reactions and lots of questions. And the one thing that's clear is that for the average independent artist, they don't have a clear understanding of what music publishing is and what the function, the role is. You know, a lot of the independent artists, they write their own music, they own it, they release it. And so they're wearing all these hats at once.
Right.
And so the different revenue opportunities for exploiting their music in different ways aren't as clear to them. But before we get further into the conversation, can you give us just, you know, kind of like the beginner's guide to music publishing? Music publishing explained in 2 minutes or less or something like that, just to kind of give us context for the rest of our conversation.
I'll try to do 2 minutes or less.
You can take as long as you like.
I could take 2 days if you'd like. So, you know, when I first started looking at maybe getting into the music publishing business, I had someone tell me something that sticks with me to this day, which is a lot of people go through their entire life in the music business and never understand anything about music publishing. This includes lawyers, managers, successful record executives, and some of the most successful songwriter artists of all time. But if you just understand music publishing, you'll understand the entire music business. And that always stuck with me, because the thing about music publishing is it's the basic foundation of the music business. Before you can record a song, you write a song. Whether or not you consider yourself a songwriter writing for other people or someone who just writes songs for their own band, you're a songwriter. You know, and the minute you write down an idea, you own a copyright. And that's separate from the thing that you might record later on. A great example of this would be with Bob Dylan. Bob Dylan wrote the song All Along the Watchtower. Bob Dylan's recording of All Along the Watchtower is not even remotely close to the most famous recording. The most famous recording of that song is done by Jimi Hendrix. But irrespective of where that song is played or who recorded the song, Bob Dylan, as the songwriter, is entitled to publishing royalties from a range of different streams. Some of those streams include when you watch Jimi Hendrix video All Along the Watchtower on YouTube. Some of those come from when someone might be streaming the Dave Matthews Band version on Spotify. Some might come from when someone buys a physical album of the Bob Dylan version in Germany. The lyrics of All Along the Watchtower appear on T-shirts. The songwriter, Bob Dylan, is owed a royalty. This works all the way down to artists at all levels. If you sell your music internationally, if your music is performed on the radio, is used in film, TV, advertising, and video games, is on YouTube, is on Spotify, if there's lyric sites that are carrying the lyrics. There are literally hundreds and hundreds of different examples around the world that are what is known as royalty bearing. And what we do, and what publishers really do, is handle that process for you. We handle the royalty collection and registration process around the world. You know, again, it's very different than the master recording. It's a separate right in to itself, and is something that is very valuable over time.
And I think I would add to what you just said that the actual recording and sale of music is just one small section of all those royalties that you mentioned, where most independent
Absolutely.
Artists are familiar with the idea of, hey, you know, that's the most visible portion of the music business, or at least has been up until this point in time, where, hey, people go to a store, they buy music, there's a royalty generated.
That's exactly right. That's certainly the part of the business that everyone seems to understand. And I think from where I sit and talking to you know, you and having a good understanding of a lot of the different CD Baby artists and what they're doing right now. Yeah, when someone buys a download of your music outside of the United States, it immediately generates a royalty, which unless you have a publishing administrator, you're not going to collect.
So, I think we made it over step one explaining music publishing. I think we're headed in the right direction. So that's foundational for the rest of the conversation, which we'll have some twists and turns. But I think the next step of kind of bringing understanding of what we're trying to do and accomplish with CD Baby Pro is maybe helping artists understand some of the revenue streams that the CD Baby Pro is helping them tap into that up until this point they've most likely been missing.
Okay, so there's a handful of different royalties that we collect. They generally fall into two primary categories, performance royalties and mechanical royalties. Performance royalties are included but not limited to radio stations, terrestrial, you know, from if your song is on a local radio station in your town or on satellite radio, TV stations. If someone's using it in the background of ESPN or MTV, when you play in a live venue, performance royalties are generated. Online streaming services like Spotify and Rhapsody also pay performance royalties, and as does YouTube. There's another bucket called mechanical royalties, and those are interactive streaming services, again, Spotify, Rhapsody. When you actually hit play on a Spotify stream, it generates two royalties. The first one is a performance royalty. The second one is a interactive streaming mechanical royalty. So we collect both of those. Separately, when you download a song outside of the United States, so if you have sales in any territory outside of the United States, there is another royalty, a mechanical royalty generated from that sale. And we capture that revenue for you as well.
Let's tackle the idea of mechanical royalties first, because I think that's something that's a little more straightforward. What is the deal with these mechanical royalties? Why haven't I been getting my mechanical royalties?
So it's a really interesting thing. In the United States, we have something that's an accepted rule called pass-through licensing. So when you sell a download of your song for 99 cents on iTunes, they pass through, iTunes passes through 100% of the money less their fee to CD Baby. CD Baby takes a fee and then passes the balance of the money to the artist. What happens is that money that you're getting from iTunes directly already includes your mechanical royalty in the United States. Outside of the United States, the rules are very different. There's no such thing as pass-through licensing. What happens is there's these different collection societies in every country. In the UK, it's called the MCPS. In France, it's called SACEM. In Sweden, it's called STIM. In Australia, it's called AMCOS. And what these are these mechanical collection societies outside of the United States have deals with iTunes, with Spotify, with Rhapsody, with 7Digital, with all of the different companies out there that sell downloads or streams. And those companies are required to pay through a royalty to these collection societies first. They take it what's known as off the top. The fees range from 6.5% in countries like Japan to a higher percentage across Europe. We're at 7, 8, 9% of the wholesale price. What that really amounts to in dollars and cents globally is that you're owed around 9 cents a download around the world. And what happens is that money goes and sits in the collection society until someone claims it for you. Your distributor is not eligible to claim it for you unless you've signed up for their publishing administration services, in which case CD Baby Pro is one of them. And what happens there is we go out to the collection societies, match the downloads to the percentage of money that they collected, and then pay it out to you.
So in that situation, is that what you know, sometimes gets referred to as black box royalties, money that's just sitting there waiting that for somebody to claim?
Yeah, I mean, you know, every black box, whenever we talk about black box in the music industry, it's in quotes, and we say so-called black box, right? Because no one likes to actually use that phrase. It's not a legal phrase, not a legal term. Some countries call it unallocated. Some countries call it unmatched. You know, there's a different term in every country, and it's all about political correctness. Black box is not a... one of those politically correct terms. So, yes, there's a tremendous amount of unallocated money around the world. The estimates range from $100 million a year to $500 million a year. What I can tell you is that if you don't have a publishing administrator, you're going to have unmatched funds in countries where you sell music. So if you've sold 100 copies of your album in the UK and you have 10 songs on your album, and you're owed 9 cents for each one, following the logical math here, you've left $90 in the UK alone. And that's just one territory for one particular album. Going around the world, you pick up sales here and there, it amounts to something. What I always say to artists at the early stages of their career, when they're selling music digitally around the world, you'd be surprised how much money is possible to come through. In certain territories, it's just a fixed percentage of the wholesale price. And it really kind of, I think, can make a significant difference in the money that they can collect from all of these efforts and activities that they're doing to market and promote themselves as artists.
Wow, that's really cool. I mean, that's you answered something that a lot of artists have been asking us. They've been wanting, what are some hard numbers or some things that I could kind of figure out how much I might be making? So I think that was an excellent answer. The next question that we've been getting that goes right along with what you just said is artists have been saying, well, I've set up my own publishing company. Why can't I collect this myself?
You can, but I say that with almost laughing, because it takes an extremely long time to do what we've done as far as set up a global collection infrastructure. I think at best estimate, you'd probably have to speak about 15 or 16 languages just to collect like 80% of the money. Because what happens is a lot of these collection societies, if you go to their websites, they're not in English. If you call them, they don't speak English. The other side of it is that they don't necessarily allow individual songwriters to become members to even claim this money. So what you have to do to even become eligible to claim is you need to have a local office in that territory or have a local songwriter signed to your company so that you can actually become an affiliated publisher. It's an extremely complex and cumbersome and bureaucratic and loaded with red tape. And, you know, if you thought the DMV was a complicated thing, if you thought that getting a passport is like a piece of cake compared to what, you know, you have to go through to set up affiliations with collection societies around the world and get paid. And honestly, our view has always been that we can do this once and set up a platform and allow people to opt into this platform for probably less money than it would cost them to join any one society outside of the United States. And, you know, when you're talking about societies all across the world, it can get extremely expensive, not to mention time consuming. I mean, every time I talk to a musician that we work with, the last thing they want to do is fill out another form. And if I showed you the stack of forms you have to fill out just to become registered in Western Europe, like, it would probably take a few months, you know. And that being said, anyone who wants to do it can. And I think one day I'll probably publish a manual on how to. I expect a lot of people to download it and no one to get past page two. But that's fine, you know. And I do think that a lot of people in the United States, you can quickly set up a publishing company. Collecting your money globally, very, very difficult thing to do. And frankly, even if you set up a company in the United States, you know, there are complications and issues associated with collecting here that it may make more sense for you to contemplate a service like CD Baby Pro.
Yeah, I mean, just what you described right there, when we were working on building CD Baby Pro with you guys, myself being an artist and having lots of albums, independent albums out there that I've just been, I wouldn't say too lazy to go, you know, start trying to just even take care of some of the minor business with having the songs properly listed with ASCAP. It's just, you know, the paperwork and the tedious business stuff. It's like, I want to take any extra time I have in my life to put towards making music, and, you know, someone else can fill out forms for me.
That's exactly right. And I think one of the things that I love about our integration with you guys is that CD Baby Pro members are filling out the information effectively once, you know. They don't need to go through everything 97 times, you know. And we really streamline and automate the process. As an individual artist, without the software and infrastructure that we've built here and the sort of direct relationships that we have, you'd be literally filling out the same forms and the split sheets and doing stuff by mail and by, you know, pigeon and by fax. You know, some of these societies are really arcane in terms of how they work. So we've really automated that process in a way where it, all kidding aside, just really makes it a seamless thing for people. And like you said, allows them to focus on being musicians, which I think is really where they want to. And if not focusing on being a musician, focusing on marketing, promoting the music they've already recorded, which I think most artists would much rather do that than the back end bureaucratic paperwork that we're involved with here on a daily basis.
To tie up the mechanical aspect, you guys are going out and registering the songs that, as an artist, I submit through CD Baby Pro with each of these collection societies, correct?
Correct. Registering them with the collection societies outside the United States. And in the United States, there actually is a segment of mechanical royalties that your distributor is not paying you either, and it's not because they don't want to, it's just that they're not allowed to collect it. And those are the what's known as the interactive mechanical royalties from places like Spotify, and other streaming services, RDO, all of the mobile carriers. YouTube has a streaming component to it as well, in addition to a performance royalty. So with mechanicals, you know, it's not just the download money, it's not just the physical sales money outside of the United States, it is also in connection with streaming that occurs in the United States. And we go out and register your songs with the societies who make it possible for you to get paid.
Excellent. I think you did a great job of summing up mechanical royalties. I'm hoping all the artists will listen to this and really kind of, you know, it'll help it sink in as far as what we're trying to accomplish on their behalf and that there is real money out there. I mean, a lot of artists have been kind of thinking, oh, this is just, you know, you're just wanting us to sell us a pot of gold that doesn't exist for us. But, you know, to me, part of it is just one, I want to be set up properly to have my catalog registered around the world like it should be. So if anything happens, I make money. But two, there might be money out there for me. And if there is, I want it. Even if it doesn't, you know, even if I don't break even, I don't care. It's like, it just feels good to know that there was money out there for me.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think, you know, there's a lot of validity there. You know, artists, I think artists at all levels benefit from it. And, you know, when I think the way this is priced, and I know that, you know, we all spent a lot of time talking about how to create value for artists here. I think we made it at a price that when you consider what people are spending on the marketing, the recording, the day to day in and out of being an artist, it's we tried to make this something that was cost conscious and not something that was overly burdensome to anyone.
That's right. Well, let's move on to probably the thing about royalties and royalty collection and or some of the revenue streams that are opening up in the digital space. And that's with the performance royalty.
Sure.
So much confusion about what a performance royalty is, who's collecting them. What portion of the performance royalty I'm actually getting, just lots of questions around that. So can you just start off by telling us what ASCAP and BMI do and what their charge is and why they exist?
Okay, so ASCAP, BMI, and in the United States, there's a third one called CSAC, which is private and is invitation only. So we'll focus on ASCAP and BMI for the moment. They're performing rights organizations that songwriters and publishers affiliate with. All over the world, there are similar performing rights organizations. Again, ASCAP and BMI, if you're a US-based songwriter, PRS, if you're a UK-based songwriter, APRA, if you're an Australian-based songwriter, so on and so forth. What ASCAP and BMI do are they're businesses who collect license fees paid from the broadcast of music. And the broadcast of music, or the public performance of music, however you want to describe it, comes from a handful of different places. And I'll give you their largest revenue streams. Their largest revenue streams are terrestrial radio, meaning in markets like New York, Z100 or LA, Kiss FM, to all of the smaller markets around the country. And they all pay a percentage of their advertising revenue to ASCAP and BMI. And these rates are renegotiated every couple of years. But ASCAP and BMI effectively collect this big pot of money, and then through a range of different metrics, sample stations using actual playlists, distribute that money to registered songwriters and publishers of ASCAP and BMI. This similar process of collecting a license fee, trying to figure out what was played for how long and for when, and then allocating the money, occurs across their other revenue streams as well. Those other revenue streams are including television. So television stations, local channels, cable channels, all pay, again, also a license fee for background music. This is separate and apart from what a lot of people are interested in, which is a sync license fee. This is just the actual background performance license fees that are paid to ASCAP and BMI and then distributed to songwriters and publishers. Most professional songwriters and publishers, songwriters have publishers who handle this on their behalf. And increasingly, through services like CD Baby Pro, songwriters at all levels are able to engage a service like CD Baby Pro to interact with ASCAP or BMI on their behalf and handle all of the paperwork and the processing. Other areas that are worth touching on is live performance. A few years ago, BMI and ASCAP launched live performance royalty opportunities. It used to be just sort of the highest paying tours. You know, they'd look at like the top 200 tours of the year, and they would take a percentage of the box office money and distribute it to the songs that were performed on those like the biggest tours of the year. What happened was that a lot of smaller venues were paying a performance rights license, and that money wasn't getting allocated properly. So ASCAP and BMI each set up their own sort of ways to distribute that money to artists paying at smaller venues. And sometimes you'll make like $1 a gig, and sometimes you could make $5 a gig. It ranges. And I think, you know, it's one of those things where if you're touring 200 dates a year and you're playing in real licensed venues across the country, there's another revenue opportunity there for you with ASCAP and BMI. Lastly, and I say it lastly because it's one of their smallest revenue streams right now, but growing very quickly, is digital. Despite the fact that I think many consumers are listening to music online, the percentage of money that a service like YouTube or Pandora, the best example, or Spotify, pays to performing rights is very small right now, but it's growing. It's growing as these services continue to grow. So the performing rights organizations collect from all these different places in the United States, and then they pay the songwriters and publishers.
Well, let's talk a little bit about how or who actually gets paid and how they know who to pay what. I mean, that's what we've noticed with artists. When it comes to ASCAP, a lot of artists will go, and if they've heard of ASCAP or BMI, they'll go and affiliate, and they don't do anything else. They affiliate as a songwriter, then they wonder why they're not getting paid.
This is a very common thing.
Yeah. And you were telling me, before we started recording, you were telling me about a story, an artist you were just talking to recently.
It was a lunch I had yesterday with an artist. And, you know, this is someone who's had their music used on a number of big TV shows. They've had a handful of different radio stations around the country playing their music. They played some fairly large scale festivals, and they've kind of been doing it all themselves. And, you know, they kind of manage themselves right now. They have a lawyer, but he's not too involved in the career. And we're sitting down, and I said, do you affiliate with ASCAP or BMI yet? And they're like, yeah, I think I affiliated with ASCAP. You know, I'm not quite sure. And it's like, but you know, that's the story that happens. Is a lot of people that I've come across in my career have taken the step of going to the ASCAP or BMI website, filling out some of the forms, affiliating as a writer. Sometime, 6 or 8 weeks later, they usually notify you that you've been accepted. And then you're then instructed to enter all of your songs and give them all of your information and basically replicate the work you've already done at, you know, through your distributor. And a lot of folks never get around to it, frankly. Or if they do it for the first album, they forget to do it when they put their second album out. It's a it's one of those things where, again, something you can perfectly do on your own, absolutely. But a lot of artists don't. We see it all the time. And so, you know, I think the confusion that a lot of people have about services like CD Baby Pro or publishing administration deals in general, and using services like that is really around, if I'm already affiliated, do I need you or can I work with you? And the answer is absolutely. You know, many of the people that we work with are already affiliated. That and every songwriter in America who's generating royalties is affiliated with either ASCAP or BMI. Or CSAC, but you, as long as you're affiliated with a performing rights organization, it's sort of the first thing you would do when you would get a publishing deal anyway. Your publisher would say, which one do you want to be with? You'd pick one, and then they would manage that relationship for you. So that's effectively what CD Baby Pro is doing here.
So we've met, you know, the artists that have done just as you described. They signed up, they affiliated, they didn't do anything. Very common scenario where they're wondering why they're not getting performance royalties, and ASCAP, BMI are saying, that's because you never listed any songs. How would we know?
Yeah. So, do we know what you wrote? Exactly. I mean, they're not mind readers.
That's one problem we're trying to help artists solve, is make sure not only with ASCAP, but around the world, that issue is not a stumbling block. But
that's right.
The next question we've been getting beyond that is someone saying, well, I've set up myself as a publisher, and so they don't need any of the services that we're offering. They're covered. And in most cases, I have a feeling that they're making the wrong assumption and that it's more of what some people might call a vanity publishing company as opposed to a real publishing company. Can you address that issue and what the differences
sure.
would
yeah,
be?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, anyone who's written a song and qualifies, they each have, you know, a couple of different qualifying questions that are not very complicated, can affiliate with ASCAP or BMI as a songwriter and separately as a publisher. Many very successful songwriters have their own publishing company, and it's with ASCAP, but they don't actually handle the day-to-day. And many emerging artists and songwriters affiliate with ASCAP or BMI, set up their own publishing company, and don't manage it day-to-day. What we have happen with CD Baby Pro and with Songtrust directly and is you have people who have all different stages of this evolution here, which is some people sign up as a writer. They never bothered to set up the vanity publishing company, and they've registered all their songs just as a writer. That's easy for us to do. We take that over on the management side and handle all the day-to-day. And then separately, if you've already gone ahead and set up a publishing company, it's quite simple. You fill out another sheet of paper with us. Again, it's all online. It's called a letter of direction. And basically, you're instructing ASCAP or BMI to let CD Baby Pro handle the administration of your publishing company. So you'll still have your own publishing company. We're just merely handling the day-to-day business affairs for the term of the agreement. And at the end of the agreement, if you want to opt out, it's very easy to do. You let us know. We tell ASCAP, and we're no longer involved. So it's really no harm, no foul. I think it just allows you to get an extra layer of protection in between you. Just to go a little deeper on this one topic, I think a lot of people get very concerned about giving up the rights because there's been a lot of horror stories in the music business as it relates to publishing because it's something people don't really understand that well. What we endeavored to do, and I think what we accomplished working with CD Baby, is to create the least cumbersome publishing deal of all time, the most songwriter-friendly publishing deal of all time. The terms and conditions of our agreement have been, you know, vetted by numerous attorneys in the business, and everyone says, wow, this is extremely generous. And part of that is the control. You know, the writer is always primarily in control, and when they opt out, they opt out. And that's something that, you know, we're very, very passionate about keeping it that way because we want our songwriters to always have control. And really effectively, all that's happening when you sign up for CD Baby Pro is you're giving us the administration right, the day-to-day right to manage this for you. That's the whole story. If you think you can handle it on your own, I would posit this one statistic to you, which is if you look at the earnings of most songwriters and artists who write their own material, the money that they collect from a performing rights organization usually only represents about 30 to 35% of all of the publishing money available to them. So for those people who say, I'm affiliated with ASCAP, I can do all the publishing myself, if the only thing you're doing is affiliating with ASCAP or BMI and registering your songs with them, you're generally going to only collect about 30 to 35% of the money that typical songwriters and artists collect from publishing.
Yeah, and I think that's where a lot of the confusion with folks has been on this subject here.
I was just going to say, your point is right. Like, a lot of people are confused and they think, are we a replacement? And we're not. We are on extremely good terms with ASCAP and BMI. We do a tremendous amount of business with them. We have worked very hard with them and with their amazing teams on the membership side and on the actual infrastructure side to figure out a way to make this as easy as possible for everyone. I've personally been working with ASCAP for 12 years and BMI for 12 years, and everyone at the company here has long histories of experience working with them, and it's a collaborative relationship. And it's important to note that, again, most successful songwriters and artists have someone managing this, and I think they have it for a reason. They have it because there's a lot of value in having an intermediary handling the day-to-day publishing administration. It doesn't prevent you from having your own relationship as a writer with ASCAP and BMI. I encourage that. ASCAP does amazing things like throw their annual expo, which they had last week. BMI similarly has a range of different events throughout the year, and they're really great organizations to take part in from an educational standpoint, from a promotional standpoint. But again, most successful songwriters and artists choose to have a third party handling the day-to-day administration of the relationship there. And that's something that, we're happy to provide.
All right. I'm looking at, I've got a long list of questions that we've pulled from artists, but we won't get to all of them. But there's one that's kind of, what we've been talking about. I wanted to see if you could just sum it up in like a couple sentences. This one has popped up a lot. So what are you doing that ASCAP and BMI aren't doing for me? And I know that you answered that in long form, but I was wondering if there was like a couple soundbite answers so someone who's not going to go deep into music publishing and just go, oh, okay, I understand. They're doing this, this, and this, and ASCAP's only doing that.
Okay, so like I said at sort of the top of the conversation, ASCAP is collecting performance royalties for you in the United States. What we do is we would be collecting your performance royalties worldwide directly from the source. We would also be collecting your mechanical royalties from Interactive Streaming Services in the United States, as well as from Interactive Streaming Services around the world, and from all of the digital stores like iTunes and Amazon. And we do that through the collection societies around the world. So we would be collecting all of your mechanical royalties around the world, and we'd be collecting all of your performance royalties around the world. ASCAP and BMI are primarily limited to the performance royalties.
There's two more little scenarios that we've had asked about around this. With the scenario with the person that kind of has the vanity publishing company, and I don't mean that to be derogatory. That's just what kind of some people call it. They call it that in the book industry as well. So when, I've got one personally set up. But when somebody has that and just working with ASCAP and BMI, is ASCAP going out and registering their songs internationally like you guys are doing?
So what they do is they send data files to societies around the world, just the performing side, only the performing side, to different societies around the world. And they have their own pay schedule on how they eventually get paid and how you eventually get paid from them. So they're not doing it on the mechanical side. So all of the download money, the interactive streaming money, they're not involved. That's not their job. That's not their mandate. They don't touch that at all. Mm-hmm. That's where we come in.
Okay. The other question, if I don't set up a little, vanity publishing company with ASCAP or BMI, do they just keep that publishing half of the song money?
Absolutely not. Setting up your own publishing company, your own as quote unquote vanity publishing company, is not a requirement. If you're affiliated with CD Baby Pro and you have CD Baby Pro handling this for you, we collect the publisher share for you directly from ASCAP and BMI.
But if I don't do that, what happens? If I'm just a songwriter, like an independent artist that's made it to the point I affiliated, I actually listed my songs with them, but that's all I did. I start seeing checks for the writer's portion that's paid directly to me. What's happening to the publishing side if I'm not?
Look, the way it's supposed to work is if you fill out all the forms correctly and you handle it correctly, they'll flow through the publisher share to you.
Okay.
On the writer's side. However, a lot of times people fill out the paperwork incorrectly and, you know, they put their business name in, and that's all of a sudden this money gets held up because it doesn't go to the correct entity. So, you know, we've seen a lot of situations where someone said, hey, I listed myself as the writer and I don't have a publishing company. What happened to the other half? And a lot of times we find out that it was held up because when they filled out the paperwork, they did it incorrectly.
Okay.
So that's the short answer to that one.
You know, is that something that they've only started doing in recent years? Because, I mean, it was a long time ago when I signed up as a writer and signed up a couple of my friends that I was co-writing with, and it didn't seem like that was an option back then.
Yeah, you know, their rules are constantly evolving. And I think that that's another thing that's really important to talk about with music publishing, is that the rules of the game are constantly changing. And, you know, it's difficult enough for companies that manage hundreds of thousands of copyrights to keep up with them, that to expect a songwriter or artist to constantly be aware of new rules and regulations is a difficult proposition. You know, just last year, the YouTube settlement occurred whereby you can get paid for some types of streams on YouTube. And there's a whole nother process that no one's ever done before in the music business that's now become implemented that is effectively not open to any individual artist to go do on their own. And, you know, that's a new thing that's happened. Every time there's a new technology that comes out, there's another way in which publishing royalties are generated. And it's another process. It's another, you know, pile of paperwork to go through the process to do it. And I encourage, if you want to do it on your own, it's totally something you can do. But, you know, again, like we said, I think we've come up with a real easy, efficient solution to do it on our writer's behalf.
Here's another question that deals with performance royalties from TV and film. They were asking, if someone is registered with ASCAP or BMI and signed up for CD Baby Pro, do they need to do anything extra if their song gets placed on TV, film in order to collect those performance royalties? And they were kind of asking if they need to do anything to make sure the producers are actually filling out cue sheets, or is there any action items on their end, or should they see that money regardless?
So as it relates to cue sheet filing and getting paid, if your song's been used in the background of a film or TV show and it airs on television in the United States, as part of the license with ASCAP or BMI, those companies are required to provide them with cue sheets, and you know your license to include the music on those shows is going to say that they have to provide those cue sheets. So there's no additional work that you have to do. And if you've registered your songs properly with CD Baby Pro, we take care of getting them registered with ASCAP and BMI, and then the royalties will flow through to you.
Excellent. We've talked a lot about this, and it's been, you know, we've mentioned a lot about U.S. laws and such. Currently, right now, it's only available to U.S.-based artists, correct? Are folks that are in Canada, can they sign up with CD Baby Pro as well?
Not yet, but it's going to be coming very soon.
Excellent. I think that's the main questions I have at this point. I know there'll be a ton more. Is there anything that we should touch on that we may have missed?
I think that's pretty much it. I think we hit on all the major topics.
Well, I would definitely encourage artists listening to this that you do go out and educate yourself on music publishing. I think if you understand music publishing, like you said, it really makes it easy to understand the whole music business, because most of it is flowing through publishing. To me, it's always been about, you never know what can happen with your music. I have an album from 2004 that isn't linked anywhere online, but it's been with Rumblefish forever. And I make, you know, on average, a couple $1,000s a year just from very passive income of usages that it gets used for. And so to me, it's like, you never know what can happen with your music. You could have some viral video hit that someone put your song in, and, you know, you never know. So you might as well have it all set up and ready to go to take advantage of all the opportunities. So that's always been 100%. My stance.
Yeah, and I think also just like I think that there's really an additional value to services like CD Baby Pro that you wouldn't otherwise necessarily think about. And they kind of fall into two places. One, the global collection societies around the world are used by ad agencies, film producers, TV production companies, and music supervisors to locate the copyright owners very frequently. So if your songs are registered through CD Baby Pro all around the world, anywhere in the world where someone wants to use your music, they're going to go search one database, right? And they're going to see the database that they search is going to be their local collection society. And if they see that you're registered there, they're going to figure out how to contact you. If they don't see that you're registered there, it gets a little dicey, and they start to think maybe this person isn't professional. It's going to be difficult to deal with them. They don't even bother to reach out. We see that happening all the time on the downtown side of our business. And when even larger songwriters and songwriters and artists that have hit songs, we get them registered as quickly as possible, because the critical piece there is that everyone who wants to find the copyright owners can very quickly. And then the second part of it, besides having it just be the known database that music supervisors use, the second piece of it is protection, like making the world, staking your claim in the ground. So if one day there's a copyright infringement, you can say, this is my song, I distributed it on iTunes on this day, and you can see clearly publishing-wise, it's been registered all over the world as this for years. So if anyone ever tries to infringe upon your copyright or claim that they wrote it, this is just one added additional benefit of protection and going out into the world and staking your claim that this is your copyright, just like the way that, you know, songwriters at all levels have been doing for 50, 60 years.
Yes, exactly. I mean, and things keep going more digital and things keep moving so fast that I think that's going to be an important piece of, you know, protecting your catalog as an artist.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, Justin, it's great having you on the podcast, and I'll be talking to you soon.
All right. Take care.
Take it easy.
Bye.
That's going to do it for this episode of the podcast. If you still have questions about music publishing, royalty collection, performing rights organizations, or CD Baby Pro, don't be afraid to ask. We'd love to answer more of your questions on the show. You can email us at podcast@cdbabypodcast.com, or you can call our listener line at 360-524-2209. If you're on Twitter, you can get us at CDBaby, or you can message me through Twitter at K Bruner. That's the letter K and then my last name. Well, that's going to do it for now. We'll catch you later. You've been listening to the CD Baby DIY Musician Podcast, broadcasting from Portland, Oregon, USA.